Today's shir is Lila Nishmas Rabbi Yehuda Leib and Rabbi Shmuel. Today's shir is Masechta Megillah Daf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Vav Amabeis, the last words of the Amud Vestrich L'Mechtav. At the end of our previous shir, we had begun a discussion when should, in a year that's a leap year, when we have two Adars, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, when should Purim be celebrated? When should we read the Megillah? And the Gemara had given us two reasons why it should be in Adar Sheni. One is because the Pasuk says B'chol Shana V'Shana, and just like every year, Purim is celebrated in the Adar that's closer to Nisan, so should it be done this year. That was one reason the Gemara suggested. And the other reason the Gemara gave is because the Pasuk says Shenis, which indicates it should be in Adar Sheni. Comments the Gemara, Vitzrich L'michtav HaShenis, why do we have to have two limudim to teach us the same halacha? Vitzrich L'michtav HaShenis, the Torah had to teach us the word HaShenis, Vitzrich L'michtav V'chol Shana V'Shana, and the Torah also had to teach us the word the Pasuk V'chol Shana V'Shana. Why? Because Shana V'Shana, if we only had the Pasuk V'chol Shana V'Shana, have a minik cushion, we would have thought, like we have been learning, that what it means called Shana V'Shana, it means just like every year, it's the other closer to Shvat. This year as well, it should be the other closer to Shvat. That's why the Torah goes out of the way to say Hashenis, to teach us that it's the second other. V'yashmin Hashenis, and if the Torah would have just told us the word Hashenis, Havamina Betchila, we should do the halacha ba'adar rishon u'b'sheni, that we should read the Megillah in both others. Kamash Milan, b'chol shana v'shana, just like every year we only read the Megillah once, this year also we'll read it only once. Rav Lezer Rav Yossi, that says that we read the Megillah actually in the first Adar, asked the Gemara, hai hashenis my avalei, what does he do with the word hashenis? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel by Yehuda, Dam Rabbi Shmuel by Yehuda, Betchila Kavua B'Shushan. Originally, the Megillah, it was established that we should just have Purim in Shushan, the Saif, B'Chalai L'Kulai, and afterwards it was done for the whole world. So the Pnei Yeshua explains why would we assume that. So he says, at the beginning, we thought that Purim was only that they accepted it for that year in the place where they had the Nes. Afterwards, they realized that this is something that applies to all of Klal Yisrael, to all places and all generations. Amalem, and along these lines, Amar Shmuel by Yehuda, Shalchem Esther Chachamim. Esther, after the Nisim, sent the Chachamim, Kivuani L'Doiris. Please establish Purim that it should be a yontif for all generations. And as the Sifse Chacham explains, there's nobody who can make such a rule besides the Chachamim. Kivuani L'Doiris, Sholchala, Kenat Maharis L'Einu L'Bein Omas. By doing something like this, the nations will be upset with us that we're making a yontif out of their downfall. Shalchalem, so that's when Esther sent them back. This whole episode, what happened, is already mentioned in their history books. And since it's already mentioned, whatever issue there is going to be. That's Pasha Peshat in the Gemara. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful explanation in this Gemara. He says, when you hear an episode that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, it's supposed to cause that it should be ma'ir you, it should inspire you for Havas Hashem, for Yiras Hashem. That's when you read a history. When you repeat something that happened in our history, it causes, hopefully, that it should cause that to happen. But it's not necessarily the case that that will happen. However, if something is a part of the Tanakh, then it's for sure going to happen. That's what the Gemara means to say. Esther said, I don't want that it should be just a history. Because a history, sometimes it has a proper influence and sometimes it doesn't have a proper influence. I want that it should be, I want this to be something that will be part of the Torah. Anything that's part of the Torah remains forever. So the Pash Pshan, the Gemara, is that Chazal were concerned that if the Umas Olam will hear what happened, it will cause them to be upset with us about what happened at that time where we killed so many of them, etc. But I saw another pshat from the Yun Yaakov. As we know the story of the Megillah, of course not voluntarily, Esther, Hamalka, ended up marrying Achashverosh. So the Chachamim were concerned that it should be left for generations how Esther Hamalka married a non-Jew. So the Chazal were concerned that that should not remain for future generations. And that's why the Chachamim said, maybe not. But Esther said, there's so much to be gained by keeping the Megillah, then it'll be forever. And as I saw, the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Sichus explains that we would think that what do we remember from the Megillah? What we remember from the Megillah is that we have an obligation to destroy our arch enemy Amalek. But, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says that in all other places, the Sefer, what's written in the Sefer, is here to remind us what our obligation is. When we speak about the Megillah itself is something that reminds us and teaches us how we're supposed to live. Much stronger than what we learn just from reading a Sefer or learning a Sefer. The lesson here is so much stronger. Says the Gemara, Rav, Rav Chanin, Rav Yochim, Rav Chavino, Masnu. Bekulei Seyde Moide. So the Gemara says, whatever we're learning Seyde Moide, Kol Kai Zuga, when we're ever mentioning this group of Chachamim, Chalufei Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan is removed from the group, Umayel Rav Yonason, and Rav Yonason, and he's replaced with Rav Yonason. Sholcham Esl Chachamim, Esther sent the following message to the Chachamim, Kesvuni L'Doiris, please record me for the Doiris. And I saw that the Sif Chacham explained, because Esther did not live in Eretz Yisrael, and to be able to establish that that Megillas Esther should be a Sefer HaKadosh, in order to be able to establish that Purim Shemein Yontif, it had to be established by the Anshe Knesset Sagdoila in Eretz Yisrael. Shalchulad, I said to her the following message, Halok Safti L'cha Shlishim, Shlishim V'Loravim, the Torah speaks about Mechamas Amalek in three places. In twice in the Torah, in Sefer Shemais, and in Sefer Devarim, and one in Nevi'im, in Sefer Shmuel. Atche Matzol Mikra Kos B'Torah, until they were able to find a source that it should be considered a Yontif from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, K'soiv Zoy Sukar B'Sefer, V'Sim Ba'ozne Yeshua, K'imoch Em Chazech Amolei, B'Tachas HaShemayim. K'soiv Zoyz is Masha Kosukan. This is a pasuk in Sefer Shemais, Uba Mishnah Torah, and a pasuk in Devarim. Zikaron Masha Kosub in Nevi'im, what's written in Shmuel. The Sefer Masha Kosub Megillah is Megillah Esther. So says the Gemara, this is actually a Machloikas Tanoim. How do we understand this pasuk? K'soiv Zois, Masha Kosub Kan, and Sefer Shemais, Zikaron Mashikosov Mishnah Torah, the Sefer Mashikosov Benavim El Devar Yeshua. According to Yeshua, Megillas Esther is not considered one of the Sifri Kodesh. Reb Lazar Amidai Omer Ksayv Zayis Mashikosov Kan and Sefer Shemais and a Mishnah Torah and Devarim. Zikaron as Mashikosov Benavim and the Sefer as Mashikosov Megillah. So according to him, Esther is one of the Kisvei HaKadosh. And the relevance of Esther being one of the Kisvei HaKadosh or not, says the Gemara, Amar Yudom Shmuel, Esther Emer Tamas Yudayim. The Gemara, the Masech the Shabbos, Daf Yudalad, teaches us that Chazal said that anybody touches the Kisvei HaKadosh becomes Tamei. The reason they made that rule is because people would make a mistake and they would leave Svarim, Sifrei Kodesh, next to Truma. They would say Zeh Kodesh, the Zeh Kodesh. Truma is Kodesh and the Kisvei HaKadosh are Kodesh. So it makes all the sense that they should be left next to each other. And we know, of course, that when we have food left, there's a concern that that food, if we is left, the mice may come to eat it. And if the Kisvei HaKadosh are there, the mice might ruin the Kisvei HaKadosh. So that's why Chazal said that the Kisvei HaKadosh are metama. So now, if Esther is considered one of the Kisvei HaKadosh, then it's metama. If it's not considered one of the Kisvei HaKadosh, it's not metama. So Yehuda Mishmul says that Esther is Eina Metama Shidayim. He obviously is of the opinion it's not one of the Kisvei HaKadosh. Lememra asked the Gemara, is that true? The Sof Shmuel Esther La Beruach HaKadosh Nemar, and therefore it's not one of the Kisvei HaKadosh. Asked the Mavam Shmuel Esther Beruach HaKadosh Nemar. He also asked the Beruach HaKadosh Nemar. So how can you say it's not one of the Kisvei HaKadosh? Answers the Gemara, Nemar Likrois. Of course, what it says in Esther is a fantastic reminder for the wonderful nace HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for us. However, V'loi Nemar Lichtoiv, it's not considered one of the Kisvei HaKadosh. The Chasam Sofer explains, the way the Gemara means to say is that just like every year we say over the story of a Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there's no Sefer that the Torah mandates it be said from, so too, we have to repeat the wonderful nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us by Esther Mordechai, but there's no Sefer mandated. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, May Omer, Kehelis, Eina Metama Shidayim. Kehelis, it's not considered one of the Kisvei HaKadosh, and that's why it's not Metama Shidayim. Umechloikis b'shir Hashirim. And Mechloikis, how do we look at Shir Hashirim? Rabbi Yosef Mashir Hashirim Metama Shidayim. Mechloikis b'kehelis. It's Mechloikis b'kehelis. Shimon HaMekehelis b'kulei b'shamay u'mechumri b'shalol. According to b'shamay, Kehelis is not one of the Kisvei HaKadosh. And since it's not one of the Kisvei HaKadosh, it's not Metama Yadayim. Whereas, according to Beis Hillel, it is one of the Kisvei HaKadosh, and it is Metama Yadayim. And that's why here Beis Shammai is Mekel, and Beis Hillel is Machmer. Aval Rosh Yerushirim v'Esther, everybody agrees, is Metama Yadayim. So how could Rabbi Shmuel say that it's not? And says the Gemara, who come Rabbi Shua? He holds like Rabbi Shua that Esther is not Kisvei HaKadosh, not Metama Yadayim. Tanya, Rav Shimon Menashe Oimer, Kehelis Eina Metama Shidayim. Kehelis is not considered one of the Kisvei HaKadosh because all he considers that Kehelis is just one of the Chachmas of Shlomo. It just represents the wisdom of Shlomo Melech. Amalai v'chi zu b'var amar. If this is only a representation of Shlomo Melech's wisdom, v'loi kvar nemar v'yada b'shloshes mashal. Shlomo had 3,000 parables. So we see that Kehelis is not the extent of his Chachma. V'oimer atos v'al dvorov. Ask marmai v'oimer v'chi teima nevetum v'omer. Shlomo said much wisdom. Diboy ichtiv, diboy lo ichtiv. What he wanted to commit to writing, he did. And what he didn't, he didn't. Toshma atosva dvorov. And since Shlomo, but who says there's any difference? And maybe none of it represents Ruach HaKodesh. That's why the pasuk says atosva dvorov. What he's supposed to write, he wrote. And what he wrote has the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. And the rest does not have that status. Therefore, it's not considered. Therefore, according to him, it's not considered Kisvei HaKadosh. The only one that's considered Kisvei HaKadosh, what was written, however, is very much considered Kisvei HaKadosh. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. Esther was said Baruch HaKadosh, Shnemra V'yoyim Ahavim Elibay. Haman said in his heart, who else would the king want to show honor, if not to me? How do we know what's going on in someone's heart? It must be Ruach HaKodesh. Kivaymar, Esther Ruach HaKodesh, Nemar, Shnevati Esther, Noisaz, Chem, Korea. Everybody loved Esther. How do we know that? Ruach HaKodesh. Remei Aymar, Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, Shnema Vivada Adov LeMordechai. The Mordechai became aware of the plan of Bixam HaSeresh. How did he become aware of it? It must be that he had Ruach HaKadosh. Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus Omer, Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra, Shnema Bizal HaShalchu Yodam. The Jews did not touch anything that did not belong to them. How can we be certain that they didn't touch anything that didn't belong to them? It must be it was Ruach HaKodesh. Am Shmuel, so comment Shmuel. I havoy hasam. If I had been there, I would have said Amina Milsa Dadif Mekula. I would have said a raya that's better than all the other rayas. Shnema, it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu, Kimu l'mala, Mashkiblu l'mata. In Shemayim, they accepted that this should be a yontif after we accepted it in this world. How could they be sure what's going on in Shemayim? It must be Ruach HaKodesh. Comments the Gemara. Amar Rav L'kul Es L'Percha. All the rayas that the Gemara gave could be questioned. L'vam d'Shmuel Es L'Percha. This explanation that Shmuel just offered is certainly irrefutable. Rabbi Elazar, Svaruhu. The fact that Haman said that the king means me is not a proof that it was Ruach HaKodesh. Haman made the following calculation. Svaruhu. Though I have Enish the Choshev, he says that certainly nobody is so important, Lamalka to the king, Kavasai. Therefore, when the king asked what should be given, how should we honor a person whom I want to honor, he clearly understood that it means me. And therefore, when he started telling the king about all the gifts that should be given, certainly Dr. Nafshi Kamar, he meant that it should be given to me. To Rekiva, that Esther, everybody loved Esther. Dumma, because we have a limud that Rabbi Elazar taught us. Damar, Melamed Kol Echav Echad, Nimus Akil Masa. Everybody thought that Esther was part of their nation. And people like people from their own type. To Rameya, Dumma Krab Chibar Abadama, there were people from the country of Tershi, and Mordechai, given that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and a member of Sanhedrin is required to know the 70 languages, so they were talking amongst themselves, convinced that no one could understand what they're saying, but Mordechai did, because he understood that language. What about Rabbi Yosef ben Damascus? That how do we know that? Says the Gemara, Dilma Priskli Shadar. They sent messages to Mordechai and Esther. The Jews sent notices to Mordechai and Esther. No, they were not touching anything they were not allowed to touch. The Shmuel, but when we speak about what Shmuel said, Kima v'kiblu, les l'pircha, cannot be refuted. Amar Avina, Hanadam Rinchi, says Avina, very strong statement. Tava chada papilta, one small pepper, chada papilta charifta, is better than cold sunny curry than a whole basket of cucumbers. So I saw a beautiful shot. When you have pepper, so pepper is not a food. Pepper is a spice. The pepper makes all the food taste well. That's what it means here as well. Once we have Shmuel's limud, the Shmuel's limud proves that Esther was said Baruch HaKodesh, then all the other limudim that the Gemara just quoted, that indeed there's room to ask question on those limudim, all of those questions are no longer questions. We already understand that what he said must be 100% correct. So the Gemara says, what's the raya? Kima l'mala mashikiblu l'mata. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Rava learns from this pasuk that Hadu kiblu b'mechashverish, that even though Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, not by force, now they took it by hava. So how can you learn two different limudim from the same pasuk? So the same Shmuel explains is that since Klal Yisrael at that time, at the time of Purim, accepted what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Kimo accepted the Torah with such an ahava, with such a love. When somebody is mekabel the Torah with such love, then when somebody acts in such a way that in Shemayim they're ready to accept whatever he wants. That's the reward for somebody who lives such a life. Rabbi Yosef Mahocha, if you may have Purim Elo, Lo Yavru Mitach Yehudim. Purim will remain a Yomta forever. Who could be certain of that unless it was said with Ruach HaKodesh? The same point that nobody can be certain something will remain forever unless it has Ruach HaKodesh. So we learned that on Purim we give Matanos L'Avyoinim. Says the Gemara Tanya Rav Yosef, on Purim we have an obligation of Mishloich Manos Ish L'Reyehu. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloich Manos? Shtei Manos L'Shechot. You have to give at least two foods to one person. Matanos L'Avyoinim. How do you fulfill the obligation of Matanos L'Avyoinim? Shtei Matanos L'Shtei Bnei Adam. You have to give two gifts to one person. So there's a very fundamental question when we speak about the mitzvah of Mishloich Manos. The Truma Sedeshen says that to fulfill the purpose of Mishloich Manos is because, as we've learned and we'll continue learning, Purim is a day of people having to have Mishta B'Simcha. So the mitzvah of Shloich Manos is that we should send the person food that he should have for the Suda. That's the opinion of the Truma Sedeshen. The opinion of the Manos Halevi is that the purpose of Mishloich Manos is to cause a hava v'achva v'shalom v'reis, is to cause friendship amongst people. And as we will learn, there are many, many nafkaminas la'alocha between these two explanations. If it's to cause friendship, or it's to cause that a person should have what to eat. The Ramah says that if somebody sends Mishloich Manos to someone else, and the person to whom you sent the Mishloich Manos refuses to accept them, will you yoytze the mitzvah of Mishloich Manos? So the Ramah paskins that you yoytze, says the Chassam Sofer, because obviously, the Ramah is following the opinion of the Menoyes Halevi, that what is the purpose of Mishloich Manos? To cause friendship. So as soon as I send Mishloich Manos to someone else, even though he's not taking it, but he saw I was thinking about him, and that causes to enhance the relationship, even though he didn't take it. On the other hand, says the Ksav Sofer, let's say I send Mishloich Manos to someone, and the person to whom I sent Shloich Manos doesn't know that it came from me. Am I yoytze the mitzvah? Says the Ksav Sofer, it depends. If according to the Truma Sedeshen, the reason is that the purpose of Shloich Manos is that you have food, so now you have my food. If the purpose is to cause friendship, if you don't know who it came from, then we didn't cause any friendship. Another question. What would be the halacha if I sent the Shloich Manos before Purim and they arrived on Purim? It's machlokes apaiskim. If the purpose is that you should have what to eat on Purim, so now you got something to eat on Purim. But if the purpose is, as the Menoyes Halevi says, is to cause friendship, that's something that's an act that's supposed to be conducted on Purim, not before Purim. The question is, if Mishloich Manos is a mitzvah, which of course is a mitzvah, so then why don't we make a bracha? So there's a number of explanations. If we're going to say that you're not yoytz in the mitzvah Shloich Manos if the recipient refuses to accept it, so when I send Shloich Manos, I can't be absolutely certain that the person to whom I'm sending the Shloich Manos is going to accept it. So I can't make a bracha. Another pshat is that Mishloich Manos is a mitzvah ben adam lechaveroi, and a mitzvah that ben adam lechaveroi, we don't make a bracha. That's the opinion of the Kesem Mishnah. The Meritz Chiyah says the reason we don't make a bracha Mishloich Manos because the bracha that we make when we read the Megillah on Purim by day, Sha'asim Nisim and Shechianu, is the bracha for Mishloach Manos. And as I said, there are many halachas that are relevant based on the reasons of Mishloach Manos. One question: if I send somebody a food that he's not allowed to eat, a diabetic, I send a sugar to a diabetic who's not allowed to eat sugar, am I yoytz the mitzvah Mishloach Manos? If the purpose is that he should have what to eat, so this is not something that he may eat. If the purpose is to create a relationship, so I'm creating a relationship. The Menois HaLevi actually writes that the Sefer Menois HaLevi that he wrote on Megillas Esther, he wrote as a Mishloach Manos to send to his father-in-law. Now the question is, and so too does the Ramah write, that he wrote a Sefer, Mechir Yayin, and he sent it to his father-in-law for a gift, as Shloach Manos. So now we have to understand it. If the purpose of Shloach Manos is to create that relationship, so it's very understandable why sending these various foods will be selling a safer, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Shloach Manos, because the purpose is to create the great relationship. So if a son-in-law sends his father-in-law a safer and makes his father-in-law very proud, it's a wonderful, wonderful Shloach Manos. But if we're going to say that the purpose of Shloach Manos is that they should have for Sudas Purim, you can't eat a sefer. And if you can't eat a sefer, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of Shloach Manos. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Tov Reish Tzadik Hei Sifkot Beis paskins that you should send only food for Shloach Manos. And not only does he say that you should only send food for Shloach Manos, he says it's preferable to send Shloach Manos in a way that the food is edible still on Purim. If the food you send won't be edible on Purim, will take a lot to prepare it. So now we have a question, because the purpose of the Shloach Manos, according to Truma's edition, is that you should have what to eat. He's not going to have what to eat on this Purim. Rav Shach used to say that somebody once gave a Rav a very nice gift for Shloach Manos. And then, he says, retroactively, it turned out that he was not mekayim the mitzvah of Shloach Manos. Because Rav Shach explained, what happened there was that this person sent the Rav the Shloach Manos, and then a little while later, he came to the Rav an expensive Shloach Manos, and a little while later, he came to the Rav and he told the Rav that I have a din Torah, that I want you to paskin. So it turns out that the Shloach Manos that he sent was actually a bribe, which the Rav was not allowed to accept, and of course the Rav gave back. So it turned out that retroactively, he was a Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shloach Manos. If I send Shloach Manos to somebody's home and he's not there, so according to Truma's Hadeshin, maybe a Mekayim, the mitzvah, if he's still going to arrive. But if the person who I sent the Shloach Manos to is not home and will never become aware that I sent him the Shloach Manos, according to the Manos Levi, you're not Mekayim, the mitzvah. And in fact, I saw it was the minig, it was the custom of the Brisker Rav that every Shloach Manos that he received, he would take it and look at it. He would take it and look at it to show that I'm developing a relationship with this person. An interesting question. If I send Shloach Manos to someone, a food with a hechsher that this person doesn't eat from, am I allowed to send them such a Shloach Manos? So, first of all, let's talk about the kashrus aspect. In terms of the kashrus aspect, if the supervision that's on the food is obvious and the person who's receiving the food will be able to know what it is, which hechsher it is, and he therefore can understand if he's allowed to eat it or not, so then there's no problem because he should look what hechsher it is. But now the question is, are we yoitz the mitzvah of Shloach Manos with sending it by somebody who sending something to this individual who won't eat that food. According to Trumas Adeshin, you're not joined to the mitzvah, because it has to be something that he's going to eat, actually preferably eat by the Suda. If he's not eating it, then there's no Shalach Manas. If the purpose is to make good feeling, so I'm sending him something, and he appreciates that I'm thinking about him. The fact that he won't eat it because of his own stringency, then that doesn't take away that we fulfill the purpose of Mishloach Manas. So if Mishloach Manas, as we're learning now, is such an important mitzvah on Purim, so are you allowed to eat Purim in the morning? You come home from shul, are you allowed to eat breakfast? Or are you supposed to do the mitzvah of Shalach Manas immediately? So Rabbi Yashiv said that you're allowed to. And he gave two explanations. One reason he says eating on Purim is a mitzvah, as we have learned. One is not allowed to fast on Purim. So when I eat Purim in the morning breakfast, I'm actually being mekayim a mitzvah. And therefore, I'm allowed to eat. Another explanation he gives is, why is the halacha always the one is not allowed to eat before he does a mitzvah? The reason you're not allowed to eat before you do a mitzvah is we're concerned you're going to forget to do the mitzvah. Said Rabbi Yoshev, Purim, what happens? I send you Shalach Manas, you send me back Shalach Manas. Because that's the way the entire Purim is going to look, that we're each going to be sending each other Shalach Manas, there is no concern that we're going to forget to give you what you're supposed to get. So our Gemara said, there's a difference between Shalach Manas and Matanas Lev Yoinim. Shalach Manas, you have to give at least two foods to one person. Matanas Lev Yoinim, two to two people. So the Ran explains, Mishloach Manas, especially if we follow the explanation of the Mnois HaLevi, which is here to create the special relationship. Since it's here to create the special relationship, so unless it's something significant, you haven't accomplished anything. That's why you need two foods to one person. But Matanas Lev Yoinim is tzedakah. So as soon as you give the person the tzedakah, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says the Gemara, in terms of Matanas Lev Yoinim, the question is, does the word evyoin throughout Shas, always, throughout Halach, always means evyoin is a very poor person? What happens if you have a person who unfortunately is poor, but he is not an evyoin? Are you mekayim the mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yoinim as long as the person is poor? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that even though the Gemara uses the word evyoin, as long as the person unfortunately needs help to survive, even though he's not an evyoin, the halacha is yimekayim the mitzvah matanas levyoinim. Moreover, I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed discusses. He says there's an individual who doesn't have money, but he has a lot of people that think about him and are worried about him. And the question that he discusses is, and people have given him money to invest. So he has that money available to him that he can invest and hopefully be successful, but it's not his money. And he hasn't yet invested it. Can you give, is such a person still a candidate for Matanas Lev Yoinim? So he says that he is a candidate for Matanas Lev Yoinim. Now the question. Let's say you have a person who unfortunately is in a coma. Can you be mekayim the mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yoinim and Shalach Manas to that person? So certainly, Shalach Manas, that we're learning the purpose is, whether it's the Trumas Adeshin, that he should have what to eat, whether it's the Manas Levi, to create that relationship. So you can't be Makayimit with a person who's unfortunately not aware of what's going on. But what about Matanas Lev Yoinim? So you're helping this person. He never needs help. He's in a coma, but he doesn't know what you gave. You should give Matanas Lev Yoinim to somebody who will recognize what you've done on his behalf. Otherwise, you're not really being mekayim the mitzvah in the optimal manner. Rav Yehuda Nasiya Shadalei L'Rabayishya. Rav Yehuda Nasiya sent Rabayishya on Purim Atma de Igla Tulsa, the thigh of Igla Tulsa. Throughout Shas, we always have a discussion, what is the Igla Tulsa? Some say it's a calf that is a third grown. When the calf is a third grown, that's when it's best. Others say Igla Tulsa is the third calf born from that cow. The third calf born from that cow is usually the best calf. So in order to show how anxious he was to do the mitzvah of Shalach Manos properly, he sent them Atma de Igla Tulsa to Garba de Chamra, and he also sent them a barrel of wine. And many Mefarshim say that the reason the Gemara says that he sent them the wine is to show us that you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos not just with food, but with wine as well. Shalach Lei, so he sent them, Kiyamta Bar Rabbeinu, you have fulfilled with this, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu. So according to Rashi, he's trying to teach us that this is a perfect way, they're two separate foods, and this is a perfect way to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Another pshat that the Ritva suggests, that he sent him this food, but since he was a very wealthy person, so he sent him food, he didn't send him such a significant gift that should be considered significant to him. So he said, what you sent me originally is only Mekayim, the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. But after you sent me something more significant, now you also fulfill the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. Another pshat that the Mashal suggests is that if you give a poor person Shalach Manos, you could fulfill both mitzvahs, both the mitzvah of Shalach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. Rava Shadalei Lamari Bamar Biyad Abaya. Rava sent Tamari Bamar through Abaya, Mali Tasa de Kaspa, a sack full of dates, or Mali Kaisa Kimchad of Shuna, and a cup full of flour. Amalei Hashta Amamari. He says, when Mari Bamar will accept the Shalach Manos, Icha Kla Malkal Ava, if somebody from the village, even if he becomes a king, the Kulam Mitzavar Elenachas, he's still a farmer. In other words, he said, even though he became very wealthy, he's sending me simple food because that's where he comes from. The Mefarshim ask, Abaya was a Kayan, so how could you use a Kayan to be a messenger to send your, to carry your Shalach Manos? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is, the rabbi was also a Kayan. A Yisrael may not use a Kayan to do something on his behalf, but one Kayan may use another Kayan. The other pshat that I saw is that he was his Talmud, and a Talmud may use a Rebbe for that. A Rebbe may use a Talmud even though the Talmud is a Kayan. Hadash Shalach Le'iu. Afterwards, Mari Bamar sent to Rava with Abaya, Mali Task with the Sangbila, a whole sack of the spice, Umal Kasa the Pepul Aricha, and a whole cup of long peppers. Amar by Hasht Amar, Anai Shadalei Cholya, I sent him sweet food, V'yi Shadalei Chorfa, and he sent me sharp food. Amar by Kenafik Mibay Mar, when I left my Rebbe Rabbi's home to go to Mari Bamar's home, have a savana, I was very full. However, Kimatoy Lahasam, when I arrived there, Krivel and Shitin Soy, they served me 60 plates of Shitin Mei Mikadera, of 60 different types of food. Vachlum and Shitti Plugay, and I ate 60 portions. Ubishul Besraisa, and the last food that I ate, have a correlate sli kader, pot roast, or boil a mechet soy basrei. And it was so delicious, I wanted to eat the plate itself. Posh Pshat, it means it was so delicious that I wanted to even lick up the plate. Another pshat that I saw, the Mashal explains that they made the plate out of food. So he says, not only did I eat the plate, the food on the plate, but I ate the plate as well. Amar Abaya, Hanidamri Enchi, Kafin Anya Veloyoda. Sometimes a person is hungry and he doesn't even realize. Inami, Rav Klapsi Mishkiach. Even if you're full, sometimes, but when you get something delicious, then you always have room for it. They would exchange meals. So there's two pshatim. Rashi explains that one year they would eat the Sudas Purim in one person's home, and the other year they would eat it in the next person's home. The other pshat that suggested is that they weren't really able to afford Shalach Manas, but they have to eat Shalach Manas, and they also have to eat the Sudas Purim. So what they would do is they would exchange their meals, and by exchanging their meals, they fulfilled both obligations. Amarava, b'chayiv inish l'psumei u'puria. A person has to become intoxicated in Purim, ad lo yada ben arur harman l'baruch marachayim. And this, of course, is a very difficult Gemara. How the Gemara could tell us that we have to become intoxicated on Purim. So the Ram says, yes, we have to take the Gemara literally. And the Gemara is saying, and since so many nisim happen on Purim through drinking wine, on Purim we should drink. The other explain says that, other to say that Yom explains, you know, poor Haman wanted to kill us, spill our blood, and blood looks like wine. The morale explains that there's a fundamental difference between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah is Lahalal Lahoidos. It's days of Ruchnius. Purim are days of Gashmius, and that they wanted to physically wipe us out. So the Simcha Purim has to be made in the way that they want. The Simcha Purim also has to be Megashmius. The Chasam Sofer says that the Rambam explains that when one does tshuva, it has to be ba'ois makkah and ba'ois zman. The circumstances have to be the same. So just like what happened by Purim was in circumstances where they wanted to kill us, the celebration also has to be gashmius. So what does it mean? Adla yada ben arur harman l'baruch Mordechai. So says the Meiri that on Purim we have to say arur harman l'baruch Mordechai, and you have to get so intoxicated until you get mixed up. The Rambam says what it means is you have to drink that much until you fall asleep. And while you're sleeping, you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. The Rabbeinu Yerucham explains that Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai have the same gematria. And what it means is that you get confused, that you can't recognize the gematria, that you can't calculate the gematria. The Rishash says that they had in those days a song that they sang on Purim. And every phrase of the song ended either with Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And what it means to say is that you should be singing the song, and it's a long song, and you're going to get confused. You're going to get confused between the difference. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests is that a person who lives with Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that the good times that he's experiencing or the bad times that he's experiencing is everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Chasam Sofer that comes on Purim, we're supposed to recognize that everything we're experiencing in life is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to experience this. And we should therefore be mekabel and be satisfied, whether it's Arur Haman, whether it's Baruch Mordechai, whatever it is, I'm prepared to accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants should happen to me. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rabbi Rav Zeira, I'm the student's Purim Ba'adi Adadi. Rabbi and Rav Zeira celebrated Purim together, Ifsim. And Rabbi got Ifsim, they got intoxicated. Kam Rabbi Shachtel Rav Zeira. And Rabbi got up and killed Rav Zeira. The next day he davened to Rav Zeira Shrav Tchias HaMesim. Lashana, the next year again, Rabbi invites Reb Zera. Shana, Amalei Nesem Avin Avid, Sudas Purim Ba'adadi Adadi. Let's celebrate Purim together. Amalei Loi B'kol Shat V'Shat Mesreches Nisha. I'm not prepared to do this again. I'm not sure that I would be able to survive something like this again. The Yaivitz explains that we shouldn't understand the Gemara literally. What happened here was that it looked like he died. It was like a magic trick, but not that he actually died. The Mashal says it's not that he died, just he drank so much that he got sick. And because he drank so much that he got sick, he said, I don't want to do this again. Not every year, if I get sick, Chas V'Shalom, will I get well again. Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Shachlu B'Layla. If somebody eats the Sudas Purim at night, he's not Yotze Techiv. My Tamim, because the Pasuk says, you may Mishtavik Simchiksiv, and the proper time to fulfill the mitzvah is by day. However, the halach is that even though to fulfill the mitzvah, we're supposed to have the Suda by day, still, it's appropriate to have a Suda at night as well. Rav Ashi Av Yosef Kamei Da Meimor. Rav Ashi was learning by Meimor. It got late, and the Talmidim did not come to the yeshiva. Amalei, so he asked him, "My Talmidei Yosef Rabbanim, why didn't they come? Dima Trudei B'Sudas Purim? Were you involved with the Sudas Purim?" Amalei, that's Amalei. So he said to them, "V'lo Efshel Mechlev Purta, couldn't you have eaten the Suda already last night?" Amalei L'Shmilei Lamar, haven't you heard what we just learned? So he couldn't eat it tonight. He learned it 40 times. So the way the Gra explains the Gemara, that a person, the Gemara says, a person constantly checks what's in his pocket. So the Gemara is saying that even though he learned this halacha 40 times, it doesn't change that he should still constantly be reviewing it. He should constantly be reviewing even something that you learned 40 times. You should still continuously review it. We begin now a series of Mishnayos of Ein Bein. Since we learned the differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni with Ein Bein, we continue this. Ein Bein Yontov L'Shabbos teaches us the Mishnah. There's no difference between Yontov and Shabbos. El Oichel Nefesh Bavad. That on Yontov we'll have to do Oichel Nefesh, prepare food for Yontov, and on Shabbos we may not. Ha Linya Machshirim Oichel Nefesh. It seems from our Mishnah that Machshirim Oichel Nefesh Zev Zeh Shavin. Everybody agrees they may not be done neither on Shabbos and or on Yontov. Machshir Eichel Nefesh, the best example would be preparing a knife. So you don't actually, you need the knife to eat. But the knife, you could have, it's something that's not used to prepare the food. That's called Machshir Eichel Nefesh. Says the Gemara Masnitz, like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Ein Ben Yontov L'Shabbos El Eichel Nefesh Bavad. That only Oichel Nefesh may be done on Yontif. Review the matter, Af Machshir Oichel Nefesh. Ask the Gemara, my time, the Tanakama, that doesn't allow Machshir Oichel Nefesh. I'm a crow, who? Only Oichel Nefesh may be done on Yontif, V'loi Machshirav. Review the, I'm a crow, Lochem, L'chol Tzurchechem, even Machshir Oichel Nefesh. Ask the Gemara, V'idach Nami Yitziv Lochem, isn't that a raya that even Machshir Oichel Nefesh should be done? The Torah is telling us that you're allowed to do Eichel Nefesh, but for Jews, and not for animals. Who? So he answers Rabbi Yehuda, who? Says Rabbi Yehuda, even I, who allow Machshir Eichel Nefesh, only allow Machshirin that could have not have been done before Yontif. But Machshirin that Efshel Asos may have Yontif, you could have made your knife Erev Yontif. I will agree you can't make it in Yontif. Let's say your knife broke on Yontif, then you had no choice. You couldn't have prepared it before Yontif, and that's why I'm lenient. Amen Shabbos Yom Kippurim. There is no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, says the Mishnah. If somebody is Mechal Yom Shabbos B'mezid, he's Chayv Skila. Zeh Zedonim B'Kairos, and Yom Kippur is Chayv Kairos. Holy in Tashlumim, Shavim. We know there's a rule of Kimoy B'Ram B'nei. If somebody does two Averis, he only gets punished for the most serious Avera. What's going to be the Halacha if it's not Misa and Tashlumim, getting killed and paying? It's Kairos. It seems that Yom Kippur, even though it's just a Chiv Kairos, will also have Kimoy B'Ramanei. Says the Gemara Mani Masnisen. Whose opinion is that? Rechunyim ben Ekonahi. The Tanya Rechunyim ben Kina. Hayoyse Yom Kippurim Kishabbos. He treated Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Linyan Tashlumim. Not Shabbos. B'schai b'nafshay potter b'tashlumim. We say Kimoy B'Ramanei. Af Yom Kippurim. B'schai b'nafshay potter b'tashlumim. We say Kimoy B'Ramanei. Tanar Hosom. Says the Gemara. We learned the Masech the Makkos. Kol Chayv Krisis. Somebody who did an Avera, for which violating this Avera B'mezid, Yechayv Koros, if they got Malkus, Niftim Midei Krisosom. They're not Chayv Koros. Shenema, V'nikla Achicha Leinecha. Kivin Shloka, as soon as this person got Malkus, Harei Kuchacha, Kachicha, and he doesn't have the Avera anymore. Divrei, Rav Chananya Ben Gamliel. Al Rav Yochanan, Chalukin, Alav Chaverov, Arab Chanani Megamliel. His friends disagree, and Chorus, Malkus cannot take the place of Chorus. Amar Rav Amri Be Rav, Tanina. We learned in our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yochanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Ben Yom Kippurim L'Shabbos, as she says, Adonai B'dei Adam, says Adonai B'Chorus. Shabbos is Misa B'dei Shbezden, Yom Kippur is Chorus. From Isa, if we say that whenever you chayv chorus, Malkus could take its place, either with the Adam. Yom Kippur also, even though the chayv is chorus, if you violated Yom Kippur, but Malkus would be acceptable. Amar of Nachman, Hamani, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yitzchak, Dama, Malkus b'chayv krisis lekom. The Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayv krisis b'chlal hayo, the chayv chorus of doing one of the averus of Arias. The Torah says, "Kikol Ashiyas Mikol Tavis Elu V'Nichrus Ad Nefashis Ois Mekarav Amam V'Lama Yotze Karis B'Chayso." What did the Torah say? The Karis by Achayso again. The Doyne B'Karis to say that only Karis is an option for Loi Malkus. Vashi Amafil Tem Rabbanim. Even our Mishnah, who holds that Malkus is a punishment that's given instead of Karis. When we speak about Chil Shabbos, the Torah says the oynish, the punishment for being Mechal Shas Mezid, is Mis B'dei Adam, Skila. The Torah says the oynish for being Mechal Yom Kippur is Karis. Yes, if he was given Malkus, it will be sufficient. But that's not what the Torah prescribed. And our Mishnah is focused on what the Torah prescribed.